next guest is the principal of Northwest Catholic. Boy, they say that 10 times fast. Talking about moving 500 kids over 40 towns to an online-only curriculum. We bring in another Christian. We have Christian Cashman joining us. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. Nice to hear your voice. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, feeling good and healthy, so that's great.
Well, especially that healthy part, but I'm glad to hear you're feeling good. My goodness, I got to tell you, there's a lot of doom and gloom and negativity out there, and I'm not trying to make light of anything. I understand the circumstance that we're dealt with, but come on, folks. I mean, there's got to be somewhat of a silver lining or optimism out there, right? We can't be living negatively every day. That's not good.
No, I'd agree with that. We're certainly trying to keep that spirit alive at Northwest Catholic in our community. So, in fact, we've been sort of trying to have this focus that, you know, Gary, there's a lot that's been lost in the last, few weeks, but there's a lot we still have. And so holding on to that and our gratitude for it is really important right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, you know. I'm reading this about moving 500 kids over 40 towns to an online-only curriculum. Now, I've got a few questions, so make yourself comfortable. Before I go there, though, my wife is a teacher. She's been a first-grade teacher for, I don't know, 13, 14 years.
Oh, God bless her.
I know, right? Believe me, I know, because I'm dealing with it when I go home. You know, there's parents that contact. You know, we can't get into the portal, and it's hard to discipline. Now, I think these parents have somewhat a little understanding now what teachers go through during the day and keeping their child focused on their work and, you know, not bothering their neighbors and so on and so forth. But
Right. But
a lot of parents are also working from home. In other words, they're still getting paid, thank God. You know, not everybody is fortunate enough to be in that situation with furlough days and, you know, people being laid off. But there's a lot of parents that are working from home, and they're like, yeah, I can't go play over there. I'll help you in a minute. And a minute turns to a half an hour, turns into an hour.
Right.
And the kids, particularly the younger kids, the older kids are probably more computer savvy than their parents, you know, and don't need that help. But for the younger kids who need that navigation, if you will, when it comes to using the computer, sometimes that in first and second grade, it's using a computer for the very first time. They depend on their parents to help them do that. And not all parents are stay-at-home moms or dads. They happen to be home because they're working from home. So based on that scenario,
right,
Christian, how do you help both the teacher, the student, and mom who's home technically but supposed to be working from home? Because maybe her boss is even monitoring what she's doing on her own laptop.
Right. Well, first of all, I mean, I think giant shout out to all of our parents and our teachers in the state of Connecticut who
Amen.
Are, you know, banding together to make this happen. I mean, it's just been a... talk about a show of faith, you know, bonding together to try and get through this time. And
yeah.
So, you know, hats off and God bless every one of them. You know, here at Northwest, although we're situated in West Hartford, as you know, and you said at the outset, we serve 44 towns.
I know.
And we also have, you know, essentially a little sort of, network system right here in West Hartford with St. Timothy Middle School, St. Thomas Grade School, St. Bridget, St. Augustine. So they also represent this kind of diversity of, let's say, pre-K to 12, right?
Yep.
So all of us have been kind of jumping in and collaborating as this was happening to say, what can we do? You know, and along with, you know, our dear friends in public education too, what do we do in this time when, you know, you don't have all the tools that you had at your disposal on campus? So, you know, one of the things that we started talking about was the combination of low tech and high tech, right? I mean, you don't always need an iPad or, you know, an online connectivity to have learning go on. So some of it is low tech, you know, sending assignments and books and, you know, story time home. I know some teachers and librarians have been streaming story time, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then really more at the high school level, as you just kind of hinted at, we've really actually leveraged the technology because, you know, obviously at that level of learning, the kids are quite a bit more independent. And, you know, thank God we had this infrastructure in place with our one-to-one program. We have iPads for our students, and all of our teachers, faculty, and staff have both a tablet laptop and an iPad, which we would have used in the normal course of education on campus, but it allowed us to essentially flip the switch in fairly short, you know, time order and take the school online. In fact, we're calling it NWC Virtual School.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
And in a way, you know, in terms of your question about parents, too, I mean, God bless, right, all parents who are now trying to balance all these things, their own work, the management of their household, keeping routine. One of the things that's been really helpful about our teaching staff, and, you know, man, let me shout out to all teachers and high school teachers, too, and especially our gang, they are... bringing normalcy and routine, because the way we're doing this is we reset our schedule. So you actually go online and you are meeting through Microsoft Teams with your teacher. So they're streaming the class. And some days that may be, you know, a full period. Some days it may be a partial period. You know, we got math teachers scribing on a virtual whiteboard. We've got English teachers doing, you know, English lessons online. And there's that immediate connectivity and routine set for the kids, you know, Monday through Friday. And so our parents have been emailing us, you know, nonstop saying, hey, thank you for keeping routine. It's so important in a time of challenge, especially for kids, to, you know, have that weekly routine. And most important for us, you know, community. Kids need community to be connected to each other, especially, you know, our kids who are stuck at home right now.
There's a lot of kids, though, that are left to their own free will to determine, okay, well, I got to put X amount of time, you know, into my schoolwork, you know, because
right.
there's new assignments. Okay.
Right.
So they're going to, some kids will start at, I don't know, if they're to their choosing. They'll start at, like, my little boy's in third grade.
Yep.
You know, he's an early riser. He gets up early, even on weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he'll. But what I know he does is that at 9 o'clock in the morning, he starts working so that he can have time later on in the afternoon to go out and play outside in the
right.
backyard. There's other kids who'll get up at 10 or 11 o'clock, you know, and they'll do their work, but they'll work for the next from 5 hours started. Then there's kids that'll start at 3.
Right.
So there's kids that are starting all throughout different times of the day.
Yep.
And when they've got questions, they get to email their teacher according to the time that's convenient to them. But realistically, as I with the example I just gave, you know, the teacher has to be kind of available all day, every day, you know, even beyond the normal hours of what would have been their school day.
Right, and we've been trying to be really sensitive to that. You know, one of the things we learned going out our first week of virtual school, which is the week, I think, now losing track of days here, the 16th, you know, we went out kind of hot where we had every class meeting every day, and clearly that was an overwhelm because the teachers were overwhelmed, the kids were overwhelmed, they couldn't get outside, then they were doing homework till midnight, and we said, you know, hold the phone. We were taking virtual feedback from parents and students and teachers saying, no, we've got to think of this and conceive of it differently. You know, it's not the same as being on campus. And so our mantra and learning from the first week was less is more, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and especially in terms of time on task. So we got to have times where they meet. We got to have times where they connect per a schedule. But we knew we needed to be, like, offline from noon to afternoon, right? Kids got to get out and of all ages and
sure.
adults, get some fresh air. And then we've sort of established these kind of virtual office hours where the kids can always email a teacher and so forth. But we said, look, give us 24 hours to respond. You know, everybody needs a break, and trying to reset the expectation. And, you know, we're also trying to now think in our, this, I guess, our second full week, how do we reach beyond the academic piece and without overwhelming, you know, offer some other things like some wellness, you know, athletic workouts for our teams, you know, our clubs that used to meet after school. That was a great connection for kids. We can do this Microsoft teaming where they get online and connect and keep some activities going virtually, while at the same time realizing we don't want them to sit on a screen for 14 hours.
Well, that's
either.
Not good neither. You're right.
Yeah, so the balance is important.
You know, you mentioned, well, there's a couple of things I want to go to. One of the things that you had mentioned was, you know, 24-hour, you know, give us 24-hour, you know, opportunity to respond to a question. And that's great. Actually, I'm glad that that's a great rule of thumb to kind of implement. But then, you know, while the teacher is answering that question within that 24 hours, there's still that next day's assignment that they have to do.
Right.
Which can then impose even more questions. So you're really, the teachers can technically be always 24 hours behind where the student is presently. But you would, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's a great point. And so twofold. One is that there is a Q&A period for our students and teachers in that regular schedule. So let's say, for example, you have an hour of a class on Monday. And by the way, our classes are meeting every other day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a catch-up day for homework. There's a little break between.
That's good.
So there's some instruction time and there's some Q&A time live. So you can sit right there and say to the teacher almost for, like, let's say 20 or 30 minutes, hey, I'm working this problem or I'm working this assignment. Can we talk right now? So some of that gets done there. the 24-hour rule is more about the more reflective stuff. Like, let's say a parent writes in, right, and says, hey, my kid's been sick for 2 days. What do we do? That stuff that we would have normally been able to respond to same day at school, mm-hmm. you know, the leadership team is trying to reach out. So are our guidance counselors. So is our social worker. You know, we're just trying to make sure that we've got enough kind of channels and time to turn around all the concerns. And quite frankly, you know, and I know a lot of schools are challenged with this, but we are taking virtual attendance so that we know our kids are engaged. And if they're sick, you know, the parents let us know they're sick and not online that day because we want to know that those kids are okay and that they're well.
You know, I know there's college classes where you can take online, and they're probably a great resource in how they've been able to do it for, you know, probably close to two decades.
Yep.
But the only thing is, I know when you take an online class, everybody has to kind of log in. Whatever time your class is scheduled for, everybody has to be logged in by then, and the professor knows who's logged in and who, you know, in other words, they're still all engaged in that class during that window of time that the class is scheduled for, where this is more at the leisure or the convenience of not only the child, but if it's elementary education, the parent as well, particularly those as little young children aren't as computer savvy as others. What about specials? How do you partake in music or gym or media, you know?
Yeah, great, great question. So we are, all of our special classes, at least, I mean, and again, I can't speak to what my grade school colleagues are doing right now, but I know they're trying to be creative too, but I can tell you, high school level, our specials are meeting. So our art classes are meeting, and they were sent home with their materials. So our art teacher is leading, you know, creative lessons, and the kids are still creating their own pieces in studio and in painting and drawing and so forth. Our music teacher's been using some pretty creative software where kids can collaborate as an ensemble. And, you know, on these online platforms, you can actually, you know, play back music together. You know, our PE classes and our, you know, as I said, our athletic director is trying to put out some wellness routines and making sure the kids are up and going. So, you know, it's there's no full-on substitute for being face-to-face on a school campus, but they're doing their best to try and keep those things going as well.
Sure, because you're right. There's a social aspect, particularly with youngsters, you know, and learning how to, you know, socialize. I mean, there's you talk to people who have homeschooled, and yep. and you listen, and I'm not going to go into that debate of with homeschooling, but I can tell you a lot of times there's a social aspect that is missing. I'm running out of time with you though, and I want to ask you another key question.
Yep.
I know these are unprecedented times. I think I've talked to everyone from, you know, government officials to elected officials to commissioners and so on and so forth.
Right.
And they're also, and I would never ever ask anybody to give me a detailed answer, especially in these uncharted waters that we're in. But I could also bet you a dollar to donuts that you've never had a circumstance like this where school's technically in, you know, we're not out of school,
right?
But it's what people are left to their own devices at home. So knowing that the school doors are closed to school, and they not only may they not open this school year, they may even be closed the beginning of next school year.
Right, God forbid.
You're right, I know, and I hope it doesn't come to that. I truly, there's a part of me, Christian, that really is hopeful that we'll still have school this year, particularly those that are graduating high school, to right. not have a graduation and yearbook signings and everything that you and I once upon a time enjoyed.
Yes.
But to that point, how do you prepare? I can't imagine there being a protocol in place because it's no one would ever fathom this in the past, the predicament that we're currently in. So are you making it up as you go along? Are you adhering to superintendents and boards of education and the commissioner of education or the governor or government?
Right.
Or are you kind of throwing your own seasoning in there and saying, well, this is what we're going to implement and this is how we're going to go forward with it?
So, you know, our Catholic school system works very closely with our state board of ed, the mm-hmm. governor, and our local town boards of ed. So we more or less follow their calendars and dictates and mandates. So, for example, when West Hartford decided that they were going to close school, we followed suit. So we do take their lead in that regard.
Gotcha.
We certainly are, I think, like everybody and every leader in state government and regional government, are kind of planning for the outside of the envelope, hoping it doesn't happen, right? So we start with worst case, and then we're backing our way up to where we are today. I mean, right
Smart.
Now the governor has said, April 20th. You know, that's the executive order. We're going to work with that date, knowing that there's certainly, you know, a contingency and possibility it goes beyond that. But your, you know, your point that's well taken is seniors. I mean, God, our hearts are breaking for our own seniors class of 2020, every other senior high school student in the state, in the region, in the nation. I mean, what do you do for seniors who lose in that last season as an athlete, those social, you know, aspects, prom, you know, just all of that. So we're really reflecting right now on what do we do about our seniors. And, you know, as you said, pray God. We have some time in the spring where maybe, you know, some of these limitations are lifted and we can have some kind of social, you know, connectivity and events. I mean, we certainly want to salvage our baccalaureates and graduations and be thinking about those things, but we are really thinking of ways to keep our seniors' spirits up in this time. And then as you say about September, I mean, God only knows. We're trying to kind of live through this school year right now and think about this semester and what that implies. Kind of, you know, get to that place and have a contingency for what if we had to, you know, reopen with virtual school. And I will say a benefit has been, you know, we've never had to do extended virtual school. This is like way beyond snow day planning.
Right.
So, I mean, now at least we as educators across the state and the nation are thinking about, okay, you know, what if? There is some real live time learning that happens when you have to respond to a crisis with hope and with great community building. And God forbid we had to reinstitute these measures at any point in the future, next year beyond. Hopefully we're learning some great lessons along the way.
Yeah, you know, I've been out of, I graduated high school 32 years ago. And I'm still friends with a lot of my classmates. You know, thanks to like Facebook, you know, that allows you to keep in touch with people that have maybe, you know, moved away, where otherwise you'd be gone and you'd never see them again, unless you were at a reunion, if they decided to go. But my point, though, is you have closure. You can say, man, it was great knowing you all these years. I enjoyed having lunch with you, or I enjoyed being on the baseball team together with you.
Yep.
And there's no closure, I think, if there's not at least a little bit of time allowed before the end of this, you know, what would otherwise be the calendar school year.
And we're sure hoping for that.
I hope so, too. All right. Listen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Gary.
I really appreciate it this morning, and best of luck to you.
Appreciate all your help. Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. Anytime.